The 2017 budget the Defense Department submitted on Tuesday was about $17 billion smaller than the one officials initially planned for. Because of that, several weapon systems were cut back, even though cyber spending got a significant plus up. We get more from Federal News Radio's Jared Serbu.
The Defense Department only had about 6 weeks to slice programs out of its 2017 spending plan following the December passage of the bipartisan budget agreement. Mike McCord, the department's comptroller, says the lion's share of the cutting was to planned procurements of existing weapon systems. No large programs were cut outright, but a wide array of systems will see smaller purchases next year.
Modernization took the brunt of the reduction. I would say not in a stupid way. We didn't terminate programs. We didn't break multi-years. Neither on the people side do we issue RIF notices, things like that. So we didn't do the type of things that, you know, that would involve sort of flailing around and breaking things. We were careful and thoughtful in how we approached this. But students of defense reductions, I think everyone would be familiar with this, that has studied this over time, especially when you have kind of a short-term, in this case, a two-year budget deal that tells you you have less money, but you don't know what the future holds. It doesn't make a lot of sense to try and fundamentally change your force structure, RIF people. So we went to the modernization account, which tends to be the most volatile, and that's where we had to take some risk. So you'll see, for example, 24 less Blackhawks, 5 less Joint Strike Fighters for the Air Force, fewer V-22s. The aircraft procurement accounts in total, $4 billion less money for shipbuilding. And these are all not, you know, these are not maybe things that we love to do, certainly, but as we talked about protecting readiness recovery, that people are our most important asset, and with the kind of inadvisability of trying to make a rapid change in force structure based on a fairly short-term budget signal of a two-year deal, this is where we had to go.
Overall, the budget asks for $583 billion, including $59 billion in overseas contingency operations funds. That's roughly $3 billion more than Congress approved for this year, but almost all of the increase would be eaten up by the 1.6% pay increase the Obama administration is requesting for service members and civilians, meaning the budget is effectively flat. The pay raise is less than the 2.1% that would normally be required under current law that pegs raises to the Employment Cost Index, which measures pay growth in the private sector. Lieutenant General Anthony Iardi, the Director for Force Structure, Resources, and Assessment on the Joint Staff, says a larger raise had to be sacrificed in favor of spending more money on training and other readiness activities. Even with a plus-up in readiness spending, most of the military services will not regain full-spectrum readiness until the early 2020s.
As the chairman views this, it's about comprehensive and holistic view of compensation for our force. And the health of the force is viewed holistically. Are our service members trained? Do they have the proper equipment? Are we ready to take on the tasks that we're assigned?
On other personnel matters, the Pentagon will once again ask for changes to its TRICARE health insurance program, despite having most of its requests rebuffed by Congress for the past several years. The proposal would introduce new fees of between $700 and $900 each year for working-age military retirees and their families, introduce new co-pays for Medicare-eligible retirees, and consolidate the TRICARE system into two plans, an HMO-like TRICARE Select option and a PPO-like TRICARE Choice option. Medical care would remain free for active duty service members, but under the choice plan, family members of active duty troops and retirees would be charged co-pays ranging from $15 to $100 when they visit private sector medical providers. DOD says that's a way to encourage them to use military treatment facilities, which cost the department far less. On retirement, DOD is already seeking changes to the new blended retirement plan Congress approved just a few months ago, and that's set to take effect in 2018. The existing reforms would reduce guaranteed military pensions in exchange for government contributions to service members' thrift savings plan accounts. Again, Lieutenant General Anthony Iardi.
First, to increase the foreshaping ability of the services, to provide greater flexibility and continuity pay, continuation pay of that portion of the law that was passed to create blended retirement, and to start matching contributions later to incentivize retention. Next, we want to obviously ensure nearly equivalent lifetime benefit here and increase the defined contribution matching rate and allow it to occur until the end of service as opposed to a particular point in time in a service member's career.
DOD's proposed changes would bump the department's maximum TSP matching contribution from 4% to 5%. The automatic government contribution would stay at 1%. Also, the matching contributions would continue until retirement. Under current law, they'll stop at the 26th year of military service. Like the broader federal budget, DOD's share includes a bump in cyber spending to $6.7 billion in 2017, $1 billion more than in 2016. The additional funds would be used for a wide array of offensive and defensive cyber activities, including about $100 million to build and secure the new background investigation IT system DOD will assume responsibility for under reforms the Obama administration announced earlier this month. The Cyber Plus Up will also pay for the replacement of DOD's host-based security system, the technology it currently uses to detect malware on individual computers throughout military networks. Richard Hale, the Deputy DOD Chief Information Officer for Cybersecurity, says the department needs smarter software which can detect malware code even when hackers modify it just enough to elude today's scanners.
And again, the sophisticated adversaries, it would be great to slow them down. Right now, attacks are highly scalable. They're very fast to mutate. Again, at certain steps in this life cycle of attack, it costs essentially nothing to update your malware, right? People just recompile this stuff with different constants in it so that the cryptographic hashes are completely different for a piece of malware, even though it's very similar to the previous one, right? So that defeats a set of defenses that depend on that staticness. So we're trying to change the calculus a little bit to slow down, increase cost, give us a little bit of time to figure out what's going on.
Hale says the department will change its endpoint strategy to include some of those technologies this year and also invest in software that can automate many of the day-to-day tasks that are currently performed manually by DOD's cyber defenders. The budget will also fully fund the 133 offensive, defensive, and support teams U.S. Cyber Command is building as part of the Cyber Mission Force DOD began building 4 years ago, and to finish construction on CyberCom's new Joint Operations Center at Fort Meade. It's expected to be up and running by 2018. With regard to facilities, the budget renews DOD's so far futile requests for another round of base realignments and closures, or BRAC, which the department claims would save about $2 billion per year by 2025. If Congress declines, the Obama administration threatened in its broader budget request that the executive branch will pursue new options to reduce wasteful spending on surplus infrastructure. And infrastructure spending took a large hit in the last several weeks of the spending proposal's crafting as well. Although procurement accounts suffered the largest cutbacks, previously planned military construction was sliced by $1.1 billion to a total of $6.1 billion in the final proposal. Maintenance and upkeep on existing facilities would also suffer a severe toll. The military departments have already neglected repairs on their bases for several consecutive years. Last year, DOD only requested 80% of the dollars it needed to keep its facilities in good condition. That will drop even further in this year's budget, says Major General Thomas Horlander, the Army's budget director.
Unfortunately, we could only afford to fund about 6-7% of our facility sustainment requirements. This is a consistent funding level across the entire Department of Defense, and an area of risk for the Army as it will exacerbate the amount of backlog maintenance that already exists on our facilities.
In Washington, Jared Serbu, FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM.
Share this interview with colleagues. Go to federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive and click share with friends.